B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz, how you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Uh-oh. Yes, and I want to get the hell out of here. Well, good morning to all across the Delaware Valley. Let me begin the show by apologizing for the last two games, particularly last night down the stretch. It was not good basketball last night. There are things to work on, plenty of things to work on. I apologize. And I want you to have at me, all right? I still believe in this group as much as it'll just drive you insane. You guys are right to grouse. I mean, there's stuff, there are issues to be ironed out. Plenty of stuff to get into. And so let's begin. First of all, you gotta do better down the stretch, right? Like, we're trying to figure out the roles. You look at the fourth quarter, and it was the Jay Rich show, right? Like, Josh Richardson was the only one down the stretch who was taking shots. And you gotta do better, Horford, Tobias, Ben in the second half. Ben comes out and has a great first half. And then what do they do? Like, right? The Pacers are gonna come back. And they're going to attack defensively, right? They're going to try to take away the drives, take away the post-ups. So they're going to try to wall off the block from Simmons. And that's what happened in the second half, which goes back to your point, all of your points, which have been duly noted about stopping and popping, right? Like, which is pull up from 12 and pull up from 14, and being able to take a shot. And I understand it. And I know it's frustrating. Believe me, I understand it's frustrating. I'm on the front lines of this thing. So I get there's the frustration element. I think there's a couple things. I think, you know, they really need scoring off the bench. Without Embiid, you just lack enough firepower, right? Like, you lack the true firepower off the bench that you need. I mean, think about, just look at the box score, right? Like, when you look at the box, and I got it in front of me from last night, and you could see that you just don't have enough off the bench. I mean, I look at it, I'm going, all right, well, like, where's your scoring coming from without Embiid? And I think that's a huge issue. Without the big fella, where you're going to have some secondary, some guys to come off the bench. I mean, Matisse is great that he's back, but, you know, there's a streaky shooter at times off the bench, right? And Korkmaz, if he doesn't hit threes, he's relatively useless off the bench. And then, you know, you got your Nettos and your Burks, and that's it. Right, Mike Scott starts last night, and if you're not getting any scoring from Tobias and Horford in the fourth quarter, you know, that's got to come from somewhere. Jay Rich was the only one that was any kind of threat in the fourth quarter. And again, it was too many threes last night. Just, there was 6 for 33. And the problem, again, with the three-point shooting is they don't have those lockdown shooters, right, from three. So without Embiid on the floor, spacing is an issue, which is, I think, they really need to go more heavily on mid-range. I mean, look at the last play, right? Because, they play good defense. They were in the game. They had Jay Rich hit a couple threes. And then, you know, there's a big moment. And Tobias has the shot. And it was a good defensive play, but it was begging for a head fake and then a drive, stop and pop, or take it to the basket instead of just shooting the three. And I think the 6-for-33, again, these last two games, they're not a great three-point shooting team. You know, they're going to have their nights when they knock down their shots against Boston and it looks good. Oh, look at that. But that's not going to happen all the time. You've got to figure out another way to score. So ultimately, what I think is going to happen is I think there's going to be some bench help that's going to come here. And I think that'll alleviate some of the scoring woes without Embiid. And then I think Brett really has to worry about getting Horford right. Because right now, Al Horford's giving you nothing. And Al's got to be a bigger part of this thing. He hasn't been as active. And it's odd because without Embiid, I was expecting Al to really kind of string together some good games. And last night, you know, he gets 11 shots in 35 minutes. And that's it. He's 0-for-3 from 3. And he doesn't go to the line. He's got to get more active. And, you know, that's a big piece of the puzzle. And they got to get more runouts. You know, first half runouts, second half team slowed down on them. Without Embiid, we got to run in every opportunity. So I know this is a great time of frustration. And I'm here. You have at me. We talked about it yesterday. I was fighting the fight. I still believe, even though they're 7-14 on the road, I still believe that they have a shot at this thing. They're going to turn this thing around. Give me some ideas. And here, I'll take your bullets. I feel you, man. I read everything. All the bullets that came my way, I got you. Good morning, Tunis.
Let's go Flyers. What a day yesterday. That kind of sucked, huh? You talk about the Al Horford thing. My concern was that he was going to play very well, and then as soon as Embiid came back, he'd get lost. No, he's not even playing well with Embiid out. And I go, oh, wow, I'm really glad that he got this big contract, this $100 million contract, and he's done nothing for you. And that's a problem. Ben Simmons, he clammed up in the second half. And I know that they dropped back on him and they weren't letting him attack the rim and whatnot in the second half.
So you pack it in, right? Like, so yeah. What happens is you begin to pack in, and right. It goes back to the jump shot thing, right? That we talked about all day.
Yeah, it's never going to go away.
It won't go away. And I get it. I get people's frustrations with it, particularly when they need scoring, right? When they need scoring. Like, look, he had, 20 in the first half yesterday. I mean, he was at 18 in the first half yesterday. He was real active and pushing the ball. And then that second half happens. And I do think a bench help, bench scoring will make a difference. Because what happens is they get out to a lead. Without Embiid, they'll get out to leads. But the bench gives it right back because there's just no firepower off the bench.
Yeah, yesterday at one point, you had Neto and Korkmaz on the court at the same time.
Well, and here's the issue is that, and Neto played 4 minutes. It felt like he played, what?
25.
Right. He played 4 minutes. The issue really is that they need, without Embiid, you got to have more bench help. Because that will help the scoring aspect of it. And then you at least can maintain some leads.
It's just, it's crazy because
those leads, they evaporate in the blink of an eye.
Right. Now, we know the flaws, right? We know the flaw that Ben Simmons doesn't have the jump shot or doesn't want to take the jump shot. We knew the flaw that Al Horford isn't the same Al Horford that we're used to in Boston. We know that the Sixers...
Well, again, he needs to find his perfect role. He's been...
Right.
Listen, it is difficult when you have all these components. It's sometimes not pretty.
Right.
When you're trying to find your place.
But all the stuff that you've heard this year, like the grousing, the team not being a good three-point shooting team.
Right.
Joel Embiid, like, of course, everybody was concerned when he went down. Like, that's nothing crazy. But everything went wrong yesterday in that second half. Like, all the flaws were just out there.
At the end of the game, right, the fourth quarter, at the end of the game, there was a lot of that stuff came to roost. That's what kind of played out. Yeah, quite frankly, I'm depressed, right? Like, I'm a beaten man before you. And all I can hope is that they're going to figure this thing out. And I believe they are. I still believe that they have the core to achieve. I think it needs to be tweaked, or I think you need a little scoring off the bench. And I think you got to figure out and navigate, you know, and that's where Brett has to, you know, he's been tinkering and has to figure out how to make his offense more effective late in games, like really in the fourth quarter.
And then obviously the biggest one is not having Embiid. Like, you know, that's...
Well, but that's you're not going to have Embiid for 5 weeks, and you right. can't lose. Like, these games, like 7-14 on the road is not good. That's not good. All right, I give you some ideas. I'm going to tell you right now that they're not going to trade Ben Simmons and they're not going to fire Brett Brown. All right? So that's not going to happen. So let's not waste our time on that stuff. Let's talk about, you know, possible solutions, who you want to bring in. I got a couple names that I think would be good to bring in off the bench. What are you seeing from a basketball standpoint? I need your help today, and you can have at me. Whatever. I'm good. 610-632-0975.
By the way, that Ben Simmons poll that we had yesterday, it's still running. Remember, I purposely had it go until the end of the show.
Yes.
And the numbers have increased. We'll get to that in a bit.
Oh, my God. I feel so low right now. Oh. You know, like I'm just going to give you my heart, right? Like, what's right. real? I want them to win so bad. Like, you, I have no idea. Like, I want them to win for the fans that have been waiting and waiting. I want them to win for those guys because I think they're a really good bunch of people. And I really want them to succeed. And I want them to win for me because it's been forever, right? Like, this was it. Like, this point in time. And so I want them to win really, really, really. I want them to get this thing together really bad. And and watching Saturday and watching Monday up close, I was there in the building. It's tough, man. It's tough. And you hope that this is the January lull, right? Before you can, you know, get things motoring, and that's where I take heart, right? I take heart and go, you know, it's January. You know, you got plenty of time to get this thing together, to get it right. I keep telling myself that, and you're looking at me.
Oh. Good luck today.
Thank you.
I'll be here with you.
Thank you. I'll make sure you stay in the way so the shrapnel doesn't get you. It is Cuz Radio with the Tunis, just getting started on this Tuesday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Yeah. So, let's think about potential fixes and how to get this thing a little bit right. I think, first of all, I think what Elton's going to focus on is going to be getting some kind of bench help, right? So you don't have a situation. It's funny because my buddy, who's a good local coach, says, look, he's the fourth quarter, he had Neto, Jay Rich, Furkan, Scott, and Norvell Pell at the early part of the fourth quarter on the floor. And, like, that rotation is not going to get it done. You know, you can't have Neto and Furkan. You just give up too much. And so any kind of leads, when you see the leads kind of shrink dramatically, you know, that's all part of it. Like, we've been talking a while about, you know, having something off the bench, right? And without Joe, it just goes in neon, right? The playoffs, it's always why I kept saying, annoyed you after a while, but I kept saying it because I really believe that they're built for 16. So when the playoffs come, you shrink your rotation, right? So assuming you have Embiid, your rotation goes right down to basically Matisse, Ennis, and then whoever the other guy is. You know, at times you're bringing Scott, you know, at times I'm sure I'll still bring in Korkmaz, but that's where they need to go get help, right? Because if you can go get somebody, and there's some guys out there, and we'll talk about some names coming up, including one who had a good night last night, not interesting. But you bring somebody off the bench that can score a little bit, that can also give you a little something, a little punch. Now all of a sudden, the rotation off the bench, now it's not Korkmaz in the playoffs, right? It's the player X that you acquire. And we always thought that at the deadline, and the deadline's approaching, we always thought at the deadline they would add some reinforcements. And that piece or two that you're going to add will look so much different in the playoffs.
Well, you need somebody who can create their own shot come off the bench, too. I mean, you think about it, James Ennis, I like James Ennis, but he's not a guy that really creates
a defense
shot.
No, yeah. He's not. He's not an offensive
guy. Grab
player.
Some offensive rebounds.
No, he's an energy defense guy.
He can hit a spot up three sometimes.
Right. Matisse is the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I love Matisse. We love him. But he's a defensive guy. You need to get that one offensive player, because scoring is at such a they're so limited off the bench.
Because Mike Scott's a one-dimensional player with a three-point shot, and he's not hitting 40% like he was last year.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's lower 30s this season.
Yeah, no, he's not shot the ball well, and it's really hurt them. So, and then without Embiid, it gets magnified, because that's, you know, 30 minutes, 34 minutes of greatness, right? And Embiid are, you know, really good, that level of play. Now, how do you fill those minutes? So I think the roster, you know, will be tweaked, and that will help. But ultimately, when we go down to the playoffs, the style in which they play, the length, defense, and then adding the pieces off the bench, that's why we said they're built for 16, not 82. And I think we're seeing some of that now with the 7-14 on the road. I mean, they know it, you know. I was with them, and you know, it's January, and so now they're going, all right, we got to get this thing right, because you can't let stuff fall, you can't slip too far out, because you still need to get that 2 seed, 3 seed, and look, Boston won last night, and Indiana, who you're fighting, like you got to start to get on some sort of run, and Embiid's not coming back anytime soon.
I mean, fortunately, Boston is only 3.5 up, and when I say only, it's because the Bucks are 10 games up. Like, you're not catching Milwaukee.
Well, no, I mean, I've lost three of the 1 seed. They're not going to.
But, like, fortunately, yes, they're the 6th seed, and I know everybody sees that number and everybody's upset, but it's like, okay, they're really only 3.5 back at the 2. Like, they could jump from 6 to 3 before you know it.
Right, but you got to start winning. And exactly. That means you got to win on the road.
Right.
7-14 is alarming on the road.
Six straight losses down the road.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. Well, let's get to the phone lines and let's come up with some answers. Stan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Stan.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Stan?
You know what? I was busy last night, and I didn't get to the game until about just under 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And what I saw was, you touched on it maybe before the break, but it was like a microcosm of all the problems that the Sixers have had the past two seasons. Well, past two seasons in the playoffs, at least. It was just, I was just like, well, where the hell is J.J. Redick? I'm like, oh, right, yeah, okay, right. But it's like they get into, you know, these fourth quarter situations, and I kind of seen last night, from what I watched, about 5:40 left in the fourth quarter. It was almost like a playoff game those last 5 minutes. You know, Indiana just, you know, stepped back off them, shut down the lanes, and they just look, a lot of times, you know, they just look so ineffective in these half-court sets.
Yeah.
And they're probing the perimeter.
Yeah.
Looking for the open three. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You don't have a three-point shooter. Luckily, Josh Richardson was able to make, you know, two or three jumpers.
I agree with you. I think you're right. I think what you got to do, it's like that play at the end, like the big Tobias three.
Right.
It was begging for a ball fake, right? Like, you know, there's going to be help. There's going to be help. But, you know, the minute the help is there, it was a tough shot. And I know he's looking at it like, that's the play. Let me go up. But you got to get a ball fake there. And then you got to go bounce, mid-range, or at least, or then take it if you have the credits.
Were they down by three or were they down by two at that last juncture?
They were down by two.
They were down. Okay.
So right. You got to go for the tie there. Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, you know, right? You got to get your best shot. I'm with you on the threes. It's too much. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you another quick question about Al Horford. Do you think his offensive ineffectiveness thus far is a product of purely him, or is it more of kind of the way they're running their plays?
Hey, thanks, brother. It's a great question. Because I'm trying to figure it out. There are times when he looks so active, and then there are times where, you know, he looks misplaced, and he looks a bit lost. We remember him saying a couple weeks ago that he was struggling to find his way. And I think one of the things that Brett needs to do is to truly get Horford really involved. Touches, shots. I think he's got to start feeling good about himself. I don't think he's cooked. I really don't think he's cooked. I think they're having trouble finding assimilating all these pieces. First you had Joe, now you have no Joe, and all these, you know, this whole lineup needs to figure that piece out. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kev.
Yo, cuz. Hey, look, just like he just pointed out, man, I'm looking at that after the timeout. We down two. Why are we going for three?
Yeah.
You know, we definitely, without Embiid, and then, you know, without Butler being here, we don't have anybody that can close, man. And my thing is, the last two road games, Ben had a spectacular first half. Okay, but when they make adjustments, who in turn is making adjustments for me to counter their adjustments?
You're right.
It's really frustrating, man. And then, because people came to think, that he said, well, 40 games in. Well, we 40 games in now. And they still don't seem like they figured anything out, man.
Well, the other tough piece of it is you don't have Embiid, right? Like, that's
right.
That throws the wrinkle back into it that we're halfway through the season, and now all of a sudden Joe's out for whatever is going to be, you know, 5 weeks.
7-14 on the road, and it's not going to get it done.
No, you're right.
The way things is going right now, man, people, you know, they're not really worrying about the regular season and playoffs. Well, who's to say we're going to get there in the playoffs with a decent seed, man? That means nothing either. If you can't win on the road and you don't have a decent seed, what do you do?
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. Again, they're not buried yet, so there's still time. It's still January. I know, listen, it's getting late. Like you say, you know, you're halfway through it. Pretty soon you wake up and it's March, right? And then, you know, and I agree with you. I think you got to start playing better.
I'm getting ready. You know, I invested 4 stacks and it's just this 10K plan and the suites. And my suite is right next to where Ben Simmons' dad is. And I'm just saying, man, I mean, to make an investment like this, I'm hoping things, they look, it's getting bad when like Ben is not listening. You know what I mean? He's a talented person, but he's not listening. So, and then when Brett says, well, I failed him, how are you failing him when you're giving him instructions? He's just not listening.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about Simmons, I think Ben, it's there's so many theories out there, right? But I think the most accurate one is he's not wired for, you know, bounce shot, right? Like shooting off the dribble. That's just not how he's wired. Like, he needs to, that's the last hurdle before he becomes a true MVP candidate, right? And it's a big one, right? You know, it's not some little hurdle, it's a monster one, and they need it. Like, he made a point to be aggressive offensively yesterday, right? Like, he wanted the ball. He was trying to post up. He was taking the ball to the rim. And in the second half, when they built the fortress around, he's got to get into that bounce, take the shot. Take that elbow jumper, right? That 14-foot pull-up.
Yep, I agree with you, cuz.
Yeah, I don't think it's like I want to look bad or I don't want to look bad. I think he's not wired that way. It's, you know, the game's all instincts, right? And thanks, brother. The game's all instincts. Everything, that game, when you're playing, you're not thinking. It's all instinctual. And that one aspect, and believe me, it's a huge hurdle. So I understand what you guys are talking about. But when they stop, it's a stop and pop, right? Bounce, pop. Like you got to be able to do that. And that's got to come, that's got to be his instinct. Right now, it's non-instinctual for him. Sammy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Hey, Sam.
I'm a little down today, too, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, those back-to-back losses hurt, but and I rode with you on the money line last night.
I'm sorry, brother.
I'm an emotional bettor. I was going to do it anyway. All right. So, first things first, this is kind of what I wanted to say. I hope that you're not taking it too hard, because you shouldn't have to apologize for being a fan of the team and believing in the team. You know what I mean? And that's something I felt like I've had to do all year for the Sixers, is sort of apologize for believing in them. And even 40 games in, things aren't looking good. But I hear you apologizing, and I'm just like, dude, don't do that. I don't know. You know what I mean? So
No, here's the thing. I know people are frustrated today. So it's not right for me to come on and argue with people and tell them everything's right. Because, listen, I understand. Like, I see things. I'm worried, too. I believe in the group, and so I believe in them. Like, I believe in them. Yeah. And I know it's dark right now. I know, 7-14 on the road's tough. But I believe in them. I apologize because I know how everybody's feeling. I know everybody's frustrated, and I don't want to come across as a, like an apologist or argue with people. Like, I don't want to do that. When you're frustrated with a team, I understand it. I'm frustrated too. Right? I want them to win so badly for everyone involved.
Uh-huh. Now, real quick, my other point. I'm watching this game last night, dude, and I see Brogdon, who's making $13 million a year less than Tobias, hitting pull-up three-pointers in the fourth, And I'm not going to act like I was calling for us to sign this guy.
No, I know. I know. Tobias needs to do more. If you're a max player, you got to do more. I agree with you. Look,
you got to give me more, man.
Look, you could say, we could all point to Ben. We know that hurdle with Ben that we talk about. But Tobias and Horford, you got a lot of money in those two guys.
Agreed.
And they got to step up. And here's my only fear is that I think Tobias is a great dude, right? Real nice guy, the whole thing. Absolutely. Is he dog enough to say, you know what, listen, I need the ball, man. I need, you know, here's the thing about AI, right? No mm-hmm. matter what AI he missed, he didn't care about anything. He was he had dog in him, right? Like, great players, yeah. You know, great talented players will take the basketball. Like, you know, like that shot, you got to see the help defender. Like, you know, come on, man, you got to do better than get your shot blocked like that.
I'm with you, cuz. Listen, they have a relatively easy 4-game stretch coming up. I think it's Knicks, Nets twice.
Yeah. And then you got to go to Toronto. Yeah.
They got to show me something against, you know.
No, and you got to start winning on the road, too. Now, you're right, Sam. You're right, bro. You're dead right. You got to start winning on the road. And you got to, if Tobias Harris, like, they need. So here's the deal. So you have, when you're facing the offseason, you have Jimmy and you have Tobias. Now, Tobias is younger. There was some thought that the ceiling was a little higher. Jimmy's combustible, so you put your chips in Tobias. Now, he has to have a little more dog in him, man. You got to be nastier. A little bit more selfish. You know, thank God for Jay Rich. Think about that for a second. Because Jay Rich has been providing them with big buckets and taking big shots. You know, and let's face it, he was like the third acquisition behind Tobias and Horford. I will come back just a moment and get everybody's calls straight ahead. Tough one, man. We got to get through this, man. It's a tough one. By the way, LSU was awesome last night.
That was a great game.
I thought that Clemson defense would give him trouble. And he just went right through.
Clemson had momentum early and then just couldn't, because they had the 7-0 lead that stopped LSU. And I thought, okay, maybe they can make a little bit of a push here. And then they just never ran away with it.
No.
They kept it close. Yeah. And then Joe Burrow just took over.
Yep. All right. We got lots to get to. It is the Midday Show with the Chunas. I'm Cuz, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 10:51 on this Tuesday morning. So here's my thought. My novice thought. I think you got to go. We always talked about bully ball all the time, right? You know, that whole thing. I heard Brett say it yesterday before the game, which is like this Philly tough thing. And I might use that as a you know, thing, Philly tough, because that gets to be a cliche. However, the way they're built, how I would like to play is, first of all, entirely too many threes. So I'm cutting down the number of threes. I'm cutting down the number of the, I think you got to go to go extreme bully ball, which means play to contact. Like the other night, it's the third quarter, right? And they're in the penalty. Dallas is in the penalty. It's the 8:38 mark of the third quarter. And they didn't go to the line. Now, I know Brett spoke about that practice. And it's like, you know, guys, like, you know, we got him in a penalty. We got to go to the line. They need to go to, they need to make that their game, right? Like, so you got a team in a penalty. You got to force the contact. You know, the three ball does nothing for, if you don't have, you know, an array of pure shooters, it doesn't do anything for you. So, attack the rim, post up, mid-range. Like, Tobias Harris is a mid-range guy. Like, you know who he is, in my opinion? And again, my humble novice opinion. He's Rip Hamilton. Right? He could be like Rip Hamilton. I think he's more comfortable playing that role. Al Horford, 12 feet, right? 14 feet. And they could all stretch you at times. I'm not saying you never shoot the three ball, but I would really like to go that style where it's less of those threes and more of the bully ball, because again, I think that's how you're built.
I totally agree.
And choose one last thing. When you have a chance to run, you break, right? You break. And you take the twos. These threes off of the break, I know, you know, it gets Rockets ball and all. You're not the Rockets. Play who you are. Be who you are. Know thyself.
Right. When's the last time you saw a three-pointer in transition?
Right.
Because they don't have the players to do that. But, I mean, the problem is you go back to, I think it was after the Thunder game when they won, and Brett said, I still want more threes. He was like, oh, I'm proud that we won, but I still want more three-pointers. And it's like, why, dude? You won that Thunder game really because of bully ball.
Uh-huh.
You played tough against guys like Steven Adams down the block.
Yeah.
You didn't win because you were lighting up the world from three.
Yeah.
The only time you've done that all season was that Bucks game on Christmas Day where they hit an incredible amount of three-pointers. You're not going to do that every single night because you don't have the personnel to do it. So but that's when I hear Brett say I need them to shoot more threes. I go, why? That's not what you're good at. What aren't you understanding? I don't know. Like, I'm just, like you say, I'm just here on the radio. I'm not the coach of the team. But when he says that, it drives me insane. Because I go, you don't have Redick anymore. You don't have Bellinelli anymore. You don't have these guys that light up the world from three anymore. And yet he still wants more threes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different... Sometimes he says things and they get misconstrued or taken like more literally. But I don't think he means it in that sense. It's like the I failed Ben Simmons. He didn't really mean,
right,
you know, that sense.
I need to grow Obama.
Like, it is important to have guys that can hit threes, right? I understand it. But it can't be everything that you do when you don't have those guys. I'm not saying like you never take threes. I'm just saying, you know, I'd rather you play and play the contact, and I'd rather you get mid-range and get buckets and play up-tempo. Like, without Embiid, like, to me, you just got to go unleash and just... You got to run at every opportunity. I know he wants to play quick. I know Brett's that's something he really wants to do. You know, I would look to do that.
I just think, like, how many times have we seen numbers like 6 of 33 from 3?
I know.
We've seen that way too many times this year.
I agree.
I'll look it up. I want to see how many times they shot below 30% in a game. And then also look at how many shots they took that game.
Yeah, well, you should look at 25% or below, because that's the egregious number.
Right, and when you're still attempting over 33s in that game.
Listen, anytime you shoot under 25% from three, it's a problem. And they're, you know, I mean, we know that's not their strength. That's why, you know, I get back to bully ball all the time. You know, like everybody knows that they're not a good 3-point shooting team. We know that everybody's skill sets. Who shoot? Let's go through it, right? Ben doesn't shoot the three. Horford can hit an open three, but, you know, again, Tobias is more of a mid-range guy. I think he can hit a three, but it's better off as a mid-range guy. You know, same thing with Jay Rich. I mean, Jay Rich is more of a, you know, mid-range scorer than he is a three-point bomber. Like, I think he can't, like, again, those guys can make them, but that they're not living beyond the arc. Right.
Yeah, they're not J.J. Redick.
You know, quite frankly, the guy with the most touch is probably Embiid. Yeah. But you look at them, and the pure shooter, and like I know he's put a lot of work in the cork mods, but like when he's not hitting threes, he's a killer because last night he plays 28 minutes, and you know it was 1 for 5.
Well, and you go back to the Boston game. Fortunately, they won, but there was a stretch where he was on the court, and then Boston had this nice little run because he turned the ball over twice, and then almost it hit the bottom of the rim.
And that's where I get back to the bench, right?
Right.
If you add to the bench, see, there are moments like you look at these two games, and we'll get right back to the phones. And my apologies, because I'm really trying to figure this out. So you look at the Dallas game. So at the 5.5, just under the 6-minute mark of the second quarter, the Sixers are rolling. Ben picks up his third foul. I thought there was a couple ticky tacks, whatever. Ben picks up his third foul. And that forces the bench play. Now, normally, you close out with your starters in the second, right? You close out at halftime because you're trying to finish the half strong. And it hurt them. With him on the floor, with him on the bench, it hurt their defense. Dallas, I thought, was you needed to jump on them and blow them out. You let them kind of hang around. They were down, I think, 9 at halftime. When I thought you could have been up 18. And I think Ben getting in foul trouble hurt because of their bench. Now, if you have a legitimate bench, like somebody, the other piece off the bench. Remember, you're counting a lot on Matisse, who's a pup. He's a pup. You're counting time on.
As we talked about earlier, he's again not a guy who creates his own shot.
Right.
He's the 3-and-D guy.
Right, and you know his 3 has been surprisingly, good, but you know it's not something that. You're going to count on, like, it's you know, one of those things, it's going to be there every night. It's not going to be there every night. It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.